Okay, fine. So the Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph raises some problem for what we've been learning. Because if you remember, for the last few days, we have been going through the Gemara's conviction that one can derive from Rabbi Kiva's claim that you cannot destroy chametz on Yom Tov. And therefore, the mitzvah of beer must be an Erev Yom Tov. The mitzvah of Teshuvah must be an Erev Yom Tov. Okay, so the Gemara says that that whole position is predicated on Rabbi Kiva having a unique set of three positions, holding like Rabbi Yehuda that the destruction of chametz is only through burning, the holding that havara is a malacha, and rejecting hoel or mitoch or something like that. Correct? Yes. Good. So you would believe that there, that what? You would assume that if you don't hold all three of those positions, then you would expect, therefore, that if you don't hold all of these positions, which presumably not everyone does, because if everyone does, it would be very weird that the Gemara made such a big deal of the fact that Rabbi Kiva held of it, right? So you would assume that according to everyone else, you would be allowed to destroy chametz on Pesach. The problem is that if you turn to Dav Vav, very far away, you know, many, many blot later, as in the next page, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marav, right, second wide line, Hamotzei chametz beveito b'yom tov, kofela v'edakli, that if you find chametz on Pesach, in your house, and all you do is you cover the chametz with a vessel, with a pot, with a pan, with a whatever. Okay? And Amarava, Imshel Hekdeshu, Eino Tzarech, if it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, you don't even have to do that. Maitaima, Mivdel Bedile Minei, because people separate themselves from it and therefore they won't eat it. And Amarav Yudha Marav, Chimtzel Shal Nachreyot, Tel Mechitza, Saratvachim, Mishum Heker. If the non-Jews, so you're not violating by your Bani Matzeh, all you need to do is put up a Mechitza. For that which belongs to the Mikdash, you don't even need to put the wall. My time on Mivdel Bedile in Shemine, because people separate from Hekdesh, they don't need a reminder. Okay, the primary line we need to focus on is just one single line, and that is the claim if Avi finds his stale Oreos still under. It's amazing that he can still find these, but he finds his stale Oreos in his room, under his pillow, on Pesach. So he just covers it with. So he says that you, right? He just covers it with his pillow again, and he moves on, right? That's what you're supposed to do, Avi. Just cover your Oreos. Just cover the Oreos, and then you'll destroy it later on, but tonight, or for your nap during the day, you'll just be under your pillow. Gishmak. Gishmak. What? Very, very. So the halacha is that he just covers it and he doesn't destroy it. Now the problem is that, based on everything we've been seeing the last few days, we would assume that what should the Gemara have said, considering this is not the position of Rabbi Akiva? Burn it! Burn it! Destroy it! Right? So the question that we have to deal with is, okay, why, right, do we not burn something on Yom Tov if we, right, assuming we don't hold it like Rabbi Kiva, right? That is the question that we need. Yom Tov. It's not clear, but fine. We don't. So you could say we hold it, but we don't. That might be true, but fine. Right? So what do? Right? That's the question that we want to answer, hopefully, just today. Hopefully. Okay? So, conceptually, you tell me, what are the options? Broad strokes. Broad strokes. No. I don't want you to give me specifics yet. Right? Well, okay. So remember that Rabbi Kiva's limitation was based on Ochal Nefesh and Mitoch. Right? So now,
what directions can we take? Don't give me specifics, right? Remember, the real conceptual question, the background here is the following, right? The Gemara implies that only according to Rabbi Akiva, right, there is a, right, malacha slash ochel nefesh slash mitoch problem, right? Right? That's the implication behind this, right? That's the problem here, is that the Gemara implied it only according to Mikiva, there is a malacha ochel nefesh mitoch problem. So now, what type of answer should we expect? You're not wrong as an example, Mordechai, Moshe, but I want you to think more broadly, which is what is the problem? Like, what types of answers should you be expecting? Not what answers are you expecting, what types of answers are you expecting? Right? Meaning, right? This is the assumption, so you tell me. What's the assumption? Right? How do you, if this is the assumption that creates this problem, then how do we do this? How do we deal with it?
It's either it's not open enough, but it can't be open enough.
Meaning, either we, right, negate the entire assumption, right? Right? One possibility is we negate the entire assumption, right? So this would be, meaning what? Right? Meaning what? We negate the assumption, which means even, right? Right? Others think that it's a
problem.
Right? Malacha. Right? Mitoch. Problem. Right? Right? Or what? What? Correct. Or we don't reject the assumption, right? And we say that it's a different problem, right? Right? Mo is already jumping into what problem it might be. But you have to understand, right, that methodologically this is actually a very easy subject, right? Is that the original assumption that we had was that only according to Akiva there's a problem of Ohel Nefesh, and now you have two problems, right? You have two ways. You can either say that even others think it's a problem of Mitoch Malacha, and then you need to explain why and how is this different from Rabbi Akiva, right? Or you say, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a malacha problem, and according to everybody else, it's
different problem.
What? I don't know. That's the question. Right? Yes?
Yeah.
The methodological issue here is quite clear. It's actually very easy. Yes? It's very, very, very easy. So, would you like to start where Mo started? I don't care. It doesn't matter which direction we go in. Okay, Mo is the easier conceptual direction, conceptually, right? Which is to say, look, you're right. This assumption holds. Only according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a malacha problem. Yes? Therefore, why does the Gemara say you don't burn it?
Something else.
And for most of the Rishonim, that something else is? Mukta, right? That's all. Now, I do not want to spend forever on the mukta problem, okay? But let us...
The mukta problem?
Like explaining why there would be a mukta problem. No.
Okay.
Mukta is a series of prohibitions that are outlined in the Gemara that include many, 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 many different types of rationales. The common denominator between them being that they cannot be consumed, right, or moved, except under limited circumstances, okay? If you want, look, very briefly, Avi, no, if you want it, then listen, okay? Okay, the strictest, the most lenient form of mukta. So first of all, you have to know that it's not clearly paskin, there is such a thing as mukta, at least on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, yes, on Shabbos, no, Yom Tov is more machmir than Shabbos. And there are indeed certain mukta that only apply in Yom Tov l'halacha and not on Shabbos. But okay. The most lenient type of mukta is what we call Davar Shemalachto
Klisha Malachto Le'isur. A vessel that is normally used for prohibited use, like a hammer. Okay? The halacha is that a hammer cannot be moved unless or you need it. There are two very big heterim. One is called the Tzorach Gufo, which means I need the space, and then you are allowed to move it. Or the Tzorach, sorry, that's the Tzorach Mekomo. Or the Tzorach Gufo, which is you need it. Meaning, a hammer is normally used to bang in nails, which would be Asur. But I'm eating walnuts, and I want to smash my walnuts into pieces with a hammer. You are allowed to do that. That is called Tzorach Gufo, and that is completely permitted. That is the most makil. Then there are a bunch of muktzah that are much more restrictive, like muktzah machamat mitzvah, right? Muktzah that is created by the status of a mitzvah, like, not really, but like a sukkah on Sukkot, things like that. There's muktzah machmat isur. There's muktzah machmat chisar and kiss, right? Something that's valuable, right? Like your passport or something like that, right? Those cannot be moved under those circumstances. There's muktzah mach, right? Then there's things like eitzim v'amanim, things that have no use, also cannot be moved l'tzarach kufa, l'tzarach makomo. Okay, all different types of muktzah that we have, okay? What would it mean for it to be a muktzah problem here? So, now, what you'd have to figure out is, right, a little bit about the parameters of muktzah, right, and what else? Why we don't waive muktzah, which is derabanan under most circumstances, right? For the orchamed d'oraita, right?
Right. So if you think it's muktzah, there's a few problems you're going to have to answer. One is you have to, if you have to investigate the parameters of muktzah a little bit. Right, and the second is you're going to have to figure out, but wait a second, according to most poskim, most muktzahs are derabanan. So even if there were potential muktzah problem with burning the chametz, why wouldn't you just waive that in light of the fact that... Right, that biur chametz is d'oraita. Now, which rishonim that I gave you, I didn't give you so many on it, but which rishonim assume that the problem here is muktzah?
Well, it's the biur chametz is d'oraita.
No, everyone agrees that Biur Chametz is d'oraita. The question is how you do Biur Chametz, right? So, who holds that it's muktzah? Does he? It's not 100% clear. He might, right? Meaning he says the lochazi l'taltula, you can't move it. So he might mean muktzah, probably does. He doesn't say it explicitly, right? Who uses the words muktzah, Tosfot, right? Rashi probably means it. He says you can't move it. It's Ram of Tiltul. Tosfot says, "Algav diika lemandi yom perikira ain klini tel davar nidel." Right? Ika luuk mebit tzarech lemkomo inami hachishar mishum dilmat delamichle. Right? He just assumes that this whole sugya is about muktzah, and therefore he says, "Wait a second. If it's muktzah, now he doesn't actually say it's muktzah. I should correct myself. He implies very strongly it's muktzah. Why? Because he says." Wait a second, the Gemara in Shabbat tells me that if something is muktzah, you're not allowed to move another vessel for the purpose of that which is muktzah. So he says, wait a second, how can you move the pillow, right, Avi's pillow for the Oreos? What's his implication? That the Oreos are muktzah, right? That you're not allowed to move a non-muktzah object in order to serve a muktzah object. Sure, my phone is outside and it's about to rain, right? I can't take a bucket and cover my phone so it doesn't get wet because I'm moving a cleaver or something, which is muktzah. I can't do that, right? So, correct, right? Ein kli, right? That's what he says. Ein kli nitalo davar hanital. You can't move a vessel except for something that itself could be moved, right? That means that clearly Tosu thinks that it's muktzah, right? So, he says, ikalu ukme bitzarech limkomo. So he says, right, one possibility is what? That I happen to need the place where the pail is to sit, right? Or I need the pillow because I need to sleep, right? And therefore,
I'm not moving the pillow or the bucket purely for the chametz. I'm moving it for itself, for a heter. Okay? Now, for a Tosua, that only solves the problem of why I'm allowed to move the pail or the pillow. But it's clear that according to Tosua, why am I not allowed to burn the chametz?
Because it's moksa.
Right? And he says, and really, you can't even cover it. Unless, what? I use one of the heterim that allows me to move muktzah. That allows me to use a non-muktzah kli for the purpose of something that's muktzah. Like, tzarech makomo. I need to sit where the pail is, so I'm allowed to move the pail. Right? Or, he says, inami. Possibility two is, shari mishom dilma'at limichle. We waive the dirabanan of muktzah so that you don't end up eating the chametz. Right? Now, what's the problem? So, what's the problem? Right, so, look at this.
Tosfot says, okay? Tosfot says that what? The problem here is muktzah. Yes? What's his assumption? One is you cannot move the chametz to burn because it's muktzah, right? It's muktzah, right? Yes?
Yeah. What's the problem?
Tosfos then has another problem, which is, why can I move the pillow?
Pillow?
Sure? The pillow. Answer one.
Oh, it's not the pillow.
Correct. The pillow, right? I have the normal heter muktzah. Meaning, according to answer one,
did we waive any muktzah rules for, do we waive any muktzah rules?
No.
You have to explain the sugya in such a way that what? That by covering the Oreos, I'm not violating muktzah with the pillow. Right?
Does this make sense? Basically makes sense. What's possibly two? That we waive the dirabanan, right? To prevent eating.
Right.
Does this make any sense? No, why does it not make sense, Eitan? Correct, because once you say you're waving the rabbanans, why don't you wave it and tell you to burn the chametz? The first answer I understand. Tosfot is saying we don't wave muktzah for the destruction of chametz, period. Yes? So then you say, okay, we don't wave it. Now we still need to ask, why don't you wave the rabbanan? But the point is he's consistent, right? His point is we don't wave the rabbanan. The second answer is a much bigger problem. Because in his second answer, he says, we do waive the derabanan.
But not to.
Correct. We waive the derabanan to cover it so you don't eat it. But once you're waving muktzah, why don't you just move it and burn it? Which apparently, according to him, there's no reason not to burn it. I just can't move it.
Well, you could say that although on the outside, it very much looks like you're doing this act to serve the chametz, which is the muktzah.
Good, then you should do this before shiur. You can fill it up in the same. Bye. No, you're not accepted from this. We didn't get enough interruption in this room, like people screwing things and drilling things into the wall. You mean because he said, don't worry, you can just have shiur in here, and then proceeded to drill through concrete?
You max a minute to drill.
Out. Now, so what would you want to say? Good.
It's very similar to like say, oh, I want to cover my phone with a bucket when it's about to rain, and like I want to cover my chametz with a pillow. You're doing it for completely different reasons. With the bucket, it is
purely to serve the object. I mean, like you want that object to be there, but the bucket is serving it so that it does. The object doesn't get ruined. Versus if you're covering it with a pillow, it's simply to serve as a reminder for you not to touch it. It's purely for you.
No, but Tosfot assumes it's still Aser, and we're waving Yisr.
You're giving a different explanation, which is why this isn't Aser. Tosfot assumes it is Aser, and you're waving Yisr. The question is, once you're waving Yisr, why don't you wave it completely and let you burn the chametz? Right, so you'd have to say something like Avi and say, no, out, stop interrupting, share out.
No, I don't care. Out. No. No. So you might have to say, like, Avi, that look, moving the mukta itself is a more egregious violation of moving a secondary object, which is not mukta, for the service of mukta. And then you have to posit certain gradations within the severity of mukta, right? Yes, Avi? Something like that. Now, but there's a big major problem hanging over all of this, which is, right, Rashi seems to hold his mukta 90%. Tosfot definitely holds his mukta. What's the major, major, major problem, right, which emerges from Tosfot's second answer? Which is maybe Avi's right. Maybe Avi's right. Maybe moving mukta is worse than moving things in service of that which is mukta. But still, in the end of the day, mukta is derabanan. So what do I care? Why are you giving me such a headache and telling me, well, you know, there's different levels of mukta? It's like, oh, okay, but the whole thing's derabanan. Why exactly do the rabbis not just say we're waiving it because it's derabanan and destroying chametz is d'oraita? So just deal with it. It's possible, but now I'm still asking you why. Okay. So one possibility, as Eitan says, is please don't tell me it's d'oraita. It's not d'oraita. You did bittul. This whole thing is derabanan. That's why Tosfot says that why are you covering it? So you won't eat it. But you're not violating Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh anyways because you did bittul. And therefore, really what's going on is they're asking you, do we waive a derabanan for a different derabanan? And the answer there is?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. Correct. Maybe a little bit. Don't do this during shir.
I was going to do it before, but I was waiting for them to clean up breakfast. That took like 2 hours.
No. Yes, but this isn't mitzvah. These are aveira. Totally different. No, this is totally, totally different. Okay? So, okay. So what I gave you, I didn't want to get too far, go too far down the rabbit hole of mukta. So, I think this is the first time maybe I've actually done this. I know Reg Ginsburg does it sometimes when he wants to summarize a sugya, and he just gives you a page in the Masifta to look at. But this will serve our purposes so that we do not have to give 20 shirim on mukta. Yoni, do you have a question before we do that?
Yeah,
sorry. It's right. It's not mukta. It's a different iser, right? It's ein kli nital elo davar hanital. That something which is not mukta is not moved for the service of some, in service of that which is itself mukta. Correct. It's not mukta, right? It's a different prohibition. Is once you say that you're waiving the derabanan enough, right? According to the second answer, it is usur for you to cover the chametz, but we let you do it anyways, so you don't eat it. But once you say that you're waiving the derabanan, so why don't you waive the derabanan entirely and let you burn it, right? Yes, according to him, the only problem here is mukta. The problem of burning it is mukta. Correct, you can't move to burn it. And you don't burn it in its space because, like, why don't you burn it in its space? Give me a very lumdish answer why you don't burn it in its space. Because it's on Avi's pillow. You don't want to light his bed on fire. Right, that's why. That's the answer. The reason that if you can't move it, you're not going to burn it, is because you're not lighting his straw, right? This is the time of the Gemara. His, if he's lucky, straw bed. Correct, but if you have a straw bed or a feather bed with loose feathers and you just light the thing on fire, you know how fast the thing is going to burst into flames, right? This is not, you know, modern day Israel, well, every inch of your house is made of concrete. So, like, sure, you might actually pull off, not if it's on your pillow, but, like, if it's on the floor, like, maybe Bekoshi, you could pull it off. But, yeah, right? Maybe according to Tosfot, yes. Unless you think that burning is also a violation of mukta itself, maybe. Or maybe you can never burn something without moving it a little bit. Right? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe Tosfot is like, right? Because, yeah, I don't know. You're going to pour a lighter fluid and then just throw the match at it. I don't know exactly what you... I don't know. Okay? The problem is, why don't... Once we're waving Darabanan, so we said, maybe Avi said there are different levels of Darabanan, but still, the fundamental question is, if it's just a mukta problem to begin with, so why don't we just wave it? So if you look in the Misifta, right? So the simple shot in Rashi and Tosfot is that we just... So what's Tosfot's answer? Sorry, what's Rashi's answer? Look at Rashi. Rashi answers like Eitan did. The halochazi l'taltule v'afuke umi v'alira lo avar dabat li'b'libe. Right? Rashi seems to say it's a problem of mukta because he said it's a problem of moving it. And he says, why am I not allowed to do this? Because I did bittul. Kedamrin l'kamana bo'di tzarek sh'yavata b'libo l'mishuv shal yishkach v'yokhi l'ayinu tzarek kviyat kli. I'm not violating Bal Yirah Bal Yimatze. Why am I not violating Bal Yirah Bal Yimatze? Because I did Bittul. Now, according to Rashi, what's the implication? That what if I didn't do Bittul? I found Chametz that I actually was not Mevatel. Then you burn it on Yom Tov. Correct? Right? That's the implication according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the whole point here is, why do we not burn Chametz on Yom Tov? And the answer is, what you have to realize, according to Rashi... Right? But really, the real answer is, we do. No, the real answer is, we do. We do, unless this. Right? But the real answer, according to Rashi, is that, doesn't the Gemara say that only according to Rabbi Kiva it's an Isser of Malacha, and therefore you can't burn it? So Rashi's fundamental answer is, yes. So if you did Bittul, then, so right, Rashi really says, look, if Bittul, then Dirabonan, right? Then, right, Mukta is more important than, right, than Bior Dirabonan. Yes? Right, which is only about eating, correct? But if no Bittul, then what? Then it's D'oraita, and therefore, burn. Yes? Burn. Got it? Right, that's the implication of Rashi. Right? Burn. Okay? Burn. Fine? Burn it. Right? And according to Rashi, the answer is fundamentally, if it's D'oraita, then is it Tzorech Mitzvah? Yes. And what do we say about Tzorech Mitzvah and Mitoch? Right, according to not Rabbi Akiva, but according to the standard shot, mitoch mitzvah triggers mitoch, right? It expands it, and therefore this is ochel nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to burn. And according to Rashi, the simple implication is correct. If you were not mevatel, then we're dealing with a d'oraita, and then mukta is not a problem. So burn, burn, and burn. Does ochel nefesh apply? Yes. Is there a malacha problem? No. Was our assumption that only Rabbi Kiva believed in a malacha problem correct? Yes. Yes. Right? Only Rabbi Kiva believes in a malacha problem. And according to us, it is mutter. So if you didn't do bittul, burn it on Yom Tov. Yes? Burn on Yom Tov. Right? Are all of our assumptions were correct? So according to Rashi, the answer is yes. If you didn't do bittul, then in fact, we do burn. If you do bittul, then you don't, but that's a different problem because of mukta. Why mukta? Well, it's derabanan. Derabanan doesn't override derabanan. Blah, 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 blah. Yes? So now if you look here, right? So in the Masifta, they say, okay, according to Rashi, the implication is that derabanan is not stronger than D'oraita, and the only time that we don't burn it is if you did Bittul, and therefore we're dealing with D'rabbanans. But how? But what? If you didn't do Bittul, and there's a D'oraita in question, then the answer is you just burn it. Right, that's Rashi. Yes?
Right.
Good.
However, there are some who argue that it's not, that this is the wrong implication. They say that yes, there's no daraita problem, and yet, nevertheless, even if you didn't do bittul, mukta is strong enough to prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah daraita of burning. Right? Now, why would that be the case? So why would that be the case? So if you look here, he says, Maram Chalava Katav, Shitachen Shigamatiltul Asur, Afilu Kishlo Bitel, Mishum Shamidu Chacham Devreim Aldin Torah, Va'af Isur Mukta Eno Nidche Bitme Bal Yirai. So, right, he says, maybe. What? What's Hamidu Chachamim Devreim Bishal Torah? What does that mean? That you're right. Midaraita, are you violating Bal Yiraya by not burning it on Yom Tov? Yes. What's the only thing standing in your way? Mukta. And you'll tell me that's not fair. Who gave the rabbis the right to prevent you from becoming a mitzvah daraita or violating this or daraita? Right? Well, that's crazy. And answer, according to Maram Chalava, is yes. The rabbis do that sometimes. They tell you, too bad, too bad. You're right. You are correct that you are right that what?
Sometimes if you miss out on the opportunity to prevent yourself from doing a good right there.
Correct. So I gave it to you also inside. If you look at 8, look at 8 in the Ram Chalafa, right? In the second paragraph, we'll come back to his first paragraph in a second. But if you look, 4 lines from the bottom, he says, Ela shagam bazeh ani chochech lahachmir. And this I'm also unsure, but I want to be machmir. Da ashkan beduch getuva, de midu chacham devrein al din Torah. Because there are many times where the rabbis, what? They enforce keeping their laws, even in the face of biblical law. Right? Yes?
Right.
Correct? Okay. So can I erase this for a second? Can I erase this? Are we okay? Yes? Everyone's okay? So I can clarify what we're actually doing now. Right? So now, right, our next, right, to zero in on the question that we're asking is, if what? If burning comments is mutar min ha-Torah, and only mukta, right? Why doesn't it override, right? Why does it override? Does it override Bal Yiraya, right? Fine. Yeah. Answer one is it does
that
not. Oh, right, meaning it's or it's, I don't know what it is. Fine. Here, that's confusing. Possibly one is Biur is more important than Mukta. This is Rashi, right? And therefore, this halacha is only with bittul, right? Because then, it's...
Oh, because then you're just filling...
Right, because then it's only dirabanan, right? Because then it's dirabanan plus dirabanan, and they are equal. Yes? Second possibility is... Exactly. Is that no? The Rabbanan sometimes is more powerful than the Daraita. This is Tumaram.
That's. I don't really like that little section of the book right there.
Right. Right. Fine. Is the Rabbanan sometimes right must be kept at all expense. Fine? At all costs. Right? Fine? At
all.
I mean, it would be funny to leave up there, but.
Right? This is a Maram Kalava, right? Which is Ha'amidu, Divrahem, Michelle, Torah.
Correct? Sometimes, to strengthen the Rabbanan, we make it stand even. Bishel Torah. And what's his proof? Right? So his proof, as you continue there, is the case of someone who finds himself in the Beit Midrash. Right? And what is he talking about there? So the Gemara establishes on Dav Zayin, it's a case where someone does bittel. Why does he do bittel? Because he realizes that he has dough which is going to rise. So what does he learn? Right, he says, why does the Gemara because if his home he could bake it. Because if it's talking about that's not yet chametz, why would you talk about a case where he's in the Beit Midrash? Let's not go through all his proofs. Right, because he said maybe it was Chametz Gomer, he would throw it out right before it became Chametz. Right, and he says furthermore, right, the Gemara, the second one's probably an easier proof to understand. Right, his second proof is, look, the Gemara in Daf Vav says the reason that you have to do Bidika after you do Bittel is because you might find a nice loaf of bread and end up eating it. Right? So Maram Chalava says, I don't understand. If that was a real concern, what should you just say? Don't do Bidika. And if you happen to find a nice loaf of bread on Yom Tov, throw it out. What is it clearly assuming? That you can't. Right? You can't throw it out. Right? You can't throw it out, even though if you don't throw it out, we're worried that you might end up violating the Ishtar right of eating chametz. That's why we're telling you to do bidika, so you don't have a situation where you might accidentally eat. So why don't you just say, throw it out so that you don't eat it? It's Yom Tov and you can't touch it because it's mukta. That's his point. That's exactly his point. Clearly the Gemara is assuming that you can't throw it out. Why wouldn't you be able to throw it out? Because it's mukta. By not throwing it out, aren't you running the risk of eating it? Yes, but sometimes we enforce the Rabbanan even when it runs the risk of violating the Raita. QED. Correct.
Not enforcing the Durabana, even if it means violating.
No, we do that too. No, we do that too. Yes.
What? No.
Yes. Yes. So, Gunair event that there's an Isser Durabanan of taking bread off of the oven. And yet, once the bread is on the oven, right, if you remove it now, you only violate an Isser Rabbanan. And if you leave it there, you violate an Isser Doraita because you put it up there on Shabbos, and now it's going to bake. And the answer is, we don't let you take it down and violate the Rabbanan. We make you violate the Doraita. Yes. Obviously, the Mepharshim there try to figure out how we could do that, and is it true, and what are the parameters. But yes, there are places where that is what we do. And there are many, many other examples. He gives several. We're not going to go through all of them. Okay. This does seem to be the simple pshat of the Rambam as well. Right? So if you look at the Rambam that I gave you in number 12, where the Rambam in Gimel Ched in right, says, "Lefichach hem lo bitel kodem sheish." If you were not mevatel chametz before 6 hours, and you found chametz, 12. I raise over aloira. Right, I was thinking of doing it the other way. That's why I'm going backwards now. Right, I was going to start with the malacha once, but you wanted to start with the mukta. So now some of these sources speak to both. I'm sorry. You wanted to start with the mukta side. I don't know what you want from me. Right? Ve'ena bitl ata mora lo klum, right? And bitl after 6 hours doesn't work. Lefi shena reshuta. Va'kadav asau kilu reshuta lechayvo mishum lo yira ve'lo imatze, right? V'chayev levar v'cholei sheimatzenu. Key word, though, is the last line. V'imatzo b'yom tov kofa alav kli ad la'erev u'mivaro. And if you find it on Yom Tov, cover it until tonight. Which means that according to the Rambam, it's quite clear that we're dealing with a case that you were not mevatel. Right? Right? Correct? You're dealing with a case that you're not mevatel. Yes? And Kesev Mishnah says the same thing, that we'll see the Kesev Mishnah assumes this is not about Muktza. But the point is that at least for our purposes now, the Rambam deals with a case in which you were not mevatel it. Yes? Yeah? Good. The rabbis just sometimes decide that. They just decide that. Yeah. Yeah. There's no way of telling with the Rabbanans which ones they're going to do that. Now, there is another possibility here, which is even without Bittel, right? It's not Daraita. Whoa. They'll tell me, what? Is that possible? Right? So a third possibility is even without Bittel, it's not Daraita. And therefore what? It's never going to be Derabanan stronger than Daraita, no matter what happened. How could you say such a thing? That's crazy. How could it be that I didn't do Bittel and now I'm not violating the Daraita? Crazy. How could it be? How could it be? How could it be? Right? So now we say, right, if it's only a problem book, so why doesn't override bit be? Or so possibility one is sometimes Durabanans must be kept even face to right, Amar Mechalova. Rashi, simple implication is it's not. Right? If you didn't do Bittel and you're violating Daraita, it overwrites the problem of Muktzah. It's only when it's a Darabanan versus a Darabanan, then you don't violate it. Third possibility is you're right. Darabanan is never going to override Daraita. And even if I didn't do Bittel, it's not a problem of Daraita. Why not? Eat chametz on Pesach. No, come on. I showed you this Tosfot on Chavtet. What does Tosfot say on Chavtet? Remember Tosfot? The problem is not to own, but it's to hold on to. Right? To show that you care about. Correct? Is to show you care. Right? Remember that? Tosfot said, and therefore, what is Tosfot Mechadesh? That if I'm holding on to Chametz so that I can destroy it later, it shows I don't care about it, and I'm not over. So according to Tosfot, there's another answer here, which is, even if I didn't do Bittel, it's never going to be Daraita. Why? Because what am I doing? I'm covering it so that I can destroy it the second Yom Tov finishes, which means that I don't care. It's not about owning. Owning is not enough to violate Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh. The only thing that makes me violate Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh is holding on to it because I care about it. If I don't care about it, exactly, that covering to sit, to destroy, right, is enough alone to negate to Daraita. Because now, I may own the Chametz, but I don't care about the Chametz. Right? Correct? That's Tosfot. Right? That's Tosfot.
Within that, how does
And who says this? So look at 19, the Aruch HaShulchan in Siv Vav, right? The very end of 19. He says, Od katvu tam dekfit li ein over abal yira'eh. There's another reason why you don't violate Al-Pi Divrei HaTosfot, which is Tosfot. Damasha chametz, that if I leave chametz v'dai to olivara with the intent to destroy it, ain't over b'bal yiraya. I don't violate bal yiraya mishum delav d'bal yiraya v'nita glase, because it can be fixed. But the Yasei, this is the Magen Avraham, but the Aruch HaShulchan was clearer. Right? Now he says, v'yevshar lomer came v'dat ha-Rambam, it can't be true for the Rambam, but within Tosfot, it could be true. So now we have three possibilities, which is, even if, let's go through this from the top, right, again, our assumption going to the sugya is that only according to Rabbi Kiva there's a problem of ochel nefesh, a violation of mitoch, right, a violation of malacha to burn chametz on Pesach. According to this model, do we keep this assumption? Yes. The problem is external. It's mukta. Yes? If it's mukta, now we have a different problem, which is, why, if it's mukta, do we not allow you to violate mukta to prevent balya balya matzah? We have three possibilities. One is, we do, Rashi,
right.
And therefore this whole sugya is limited to cases where you do bittul.
Right. Okay.
And if you did bittul, then there is no d'oraita, and that's why mukta doesn't override the chiyuv to get rid of it, because there is no d'oraita iser to begin with. Right? Possibility two, Maram Chalafa, is no, you are violating Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And
rabbis do that.
And rabbis do that sometimes. Rabbis say, too bad, the rabbinic law is so strong. Right? We don't care. Possibility three is the more conceptual approach, which is no, you didn't do Bittul, but it is impossible for you to ever violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh in a case when you are covering it to destroy, because the very act of covering it with intent to destroy makes it you don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, because we already said that Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, according to Tosfot, isn't about owning, it's about holding on to, about showing that you care. But if I'm covering with the intention to destroy, then I have shown very clearly I don't care, and therefore the very act of covering it so that I can destroy it later is itself what makes it that there's never a conflict between the d'oraita and the d'rabbanan. It's a definitional issue. Right? So this is three models to defend the mukta proposition. There are other problems. There are other ways of doing it. One way, which the Torah suggests, what we'll come back to later, is a combination of this and a rejection of this. Right? Which is, the Torah suggests, well, maybe we paskin the Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Meaning we were working on this and we don't paskin the Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, well, maybe do paskin the Rabbi Yehuda. If you do paskin the Rabbi Yehuda, you have to burn it. We already said, maybe you can't burn it. Right? If you can't burn it, you can't move it to burn it. And therefore, there's a mukta problem and a malacha problem. Fine?
Okay.
That is a possibility. We're going to come back tomorrow because that goes on the rejection of this assumption. Right? Fine. One more point on the mukta. Right? Is Rav Elchanan. Right? Rav Elchanan takes a different approach. And Rav Elchanan says like this. He essentially takes a version of this, of the Ram Chalafa, which is what?
The
rabbis impose their rules. It doesn't matter. What's the problem is Tosfot had asked a question, which was, well, once you say that you don't, right, that you don't want you to violate, then mukta is enough of a reason for you to not destroy the chametz. So what was Tosfot's problem? Then why am I even allowed to cover it? Right? So answer one was, you're not, right? So within this, we really have to subdivide it again, right? Which is, we don't waive any mukta, right? Or you don't waive some
mukta.
Right? Which is, even if you think that the rabbis can impose their laws against the Torah, how extensively do they do that? Right? According to answer one, what? That we don't waive any mukta. Right? That was answer one in Tosfot. That's Tosfot number one. And that, and the reason you can move the kli is because Zoresh Nekomo, meaning you're allowed to move the kli because in the internal laws of mukta, it's not mukta. This has nothing to do with a waiving of Isurim. It's internal to the laws of mukta. Correct? Answer two seems to be that we don't waive mukta itself, but we do waive
some mukta,
like Avi said. And apparently mukta is stricter than moving a kli for the purpose of mukta. Right? So the stricter the mukta, the less likely we violate it. And the less strict the mukta, the more likely we violate it. Yes. I think I got that right. Yes? Rav Elchanan basically takes answer one, but much more lumdish than Tosfot. Because Tosfot had said, what is the case in which moving the pillow to cover Avi's stale Oreos is not a violation of mukta? In a case where he happens to need it, letzarach gufo, letzarach makomo. It's a crazy situation. It's unbelievable, Avi. It's Yom Tov afternoon. He's on his bed. He sees Oreos by his head. According to Tosfot, he can only move the pillow if he needs the pillow for its own sake. So Avi says, aha, I want to take a nap. No, I'm so frum, I'm going to take a nap in order to justify moving the pillow to cover the Oreos. Yes, yeah. You don't appreciate the nap, Avi? I'm telling you right now, telling you that the only way for you to be mekayem the mitzvah derabanan is to find a reason why you need the pillow. Avi's like, you're right, I'm not taking a nap. It's Yom Tov. The pillow is covering my sefer, and what I want to do is learn all afternoon. So I'm moving the pillow so that I can get to my sefer. Also mutter, Avi. Both mutter. Right, so that gets more complicated. But let's say Avi legitimately wants to take a nap. Right? He legitimately wants to take a nap. Or he legitimately wants to take his pillow off of his Gemara. Okay? Well, you can decide how frum you're being. But either way, he needs the pillow. Letzarach gufo, letzarach makomo. So then he's allowed to take that pillow and cover the Oreos. Right? But according to Tosfot, basically the way that he found a heter for the mukta is very technical. Right, very, very technical, which is, it happens to be a case in which I need my pillow because I'm taking a nap. Okay? Rav Elchanan said no. I got a lumdish reason, which Mordechai sort of intimated before, even though he hadn't read Rav Elchanan, because the last source, but Mordechai basically said it. So let's see if Mordechai can recreate the svara without looking at Rav Elchanan, because you basically said it before. Mordechai, why would you say that no? Moving the pillow is mutter, and it's not a violation definitionally ein klein nital el davar hanital.
Right, because you're moving it so that you're covering the Oreos, so that it's a reminder that you don't just go.
Very good. Look at that. Mordechai is mechamin Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan says, whoa. You're not looking at this situation conceptually enough. You think that you're moving the pillow for the sake of the Oreos? That would be usher, because ein klein nital el tzarach davar hanital. But you're not moving the pillow for the Oreos. You're covering the Oreos for you, so you don't eat the Oreos. And you, Mordechai, are a davar hanital. If I wanted to put you on my shoulders and schlep you around, I could do that because you're a davar hanital. You're not mukta. Are things that allowed to be moved.
Mordechai is allowed to be moved. So if I felt like moving Mordechai, I could move Mordechai, right? Because you're not mukta. Are you happy? You're not mukta. Congratulations. Congratulations. You're not mukta. So Rav Chanan says in number 21, L'cha'ora yefshar lomar l'mitaltol akli harei eino l'tzorach ha'chametz. The reason you're allowed to move the pillow is because it's not for the chametz. El l'tzorach ha'adam. It's for the purpose of the person. Nishamer michshash takala v'adam udavar ha'nital. Okay? So, I did not think this would take all day. It would take 2 days.
That's fine. Let us now... I will do this on the board, and hopefully by the end it will be clear. Okay? So,
let's see if we can get the summary down from the top. Okay, ready? Okay, it is. Right? Why? Right?
Okay, fair enough.
Why do we not pur? Yes?
Okay, because didn't we say that what? That only Rabbi Akiva thinks it's a malacha problem. Yes? So possibility one is we need... Bye. We negate this, right? We negate this and... Right? Everyone agrees that it's a malacha. Good? That's what we're going to deal with tomorrow. Yes? Sure. Possibility two is it's a separate issur. Right? It's separate. Right? And specifically, mukta. Yes? So, question. Mukta is. So question, Dirabbanan verse Doraita, right?
I don't understand, Dirabbanan versus Doraita. Shouldn't you be allowed to violate Dirabbanan when Doraita?
So possibility one is, right, it's, right, only Dirabbanan versus Dirabbanan. That itself subdivides in two possibilities, which is one is Rashi, which is only with Bittol, but implies that if
you had it, then
no Bittol, then
of course.
This formulation is Rashi. One second. We'll get to Tosfos in a second. Okay, this is, right, this is explicit in Rashi, okay? Yes? Possibility two is, by definition, covering chametz to destroy, right, removes the deoraita. Right? And this is Tosfot on Chavtet. The problem is Machzik. Right? Machzik, not just. Oh.
Right? You have to show that you care about Chametz. But in this case, where I'm covering it to destroy, by definition, I show that I don't care.
Right? Then we have no. Right? And we do.
Right, which is we do impose the Dirabbanan even when it's in conflict.
And this is the Maram Chalava.
Correct?
Now, the problem is that according to this, right, why do we allow you to cover? Right?
Isn't it also, right? Isn't that also in Issur Dirabbanan?
So possibility one is the lesser Dirabbanan.
Right? You're right. Right? This is answer two in Tosfos.
This is Tosfos number two.
right? Which is, you're right, it's mukta, but we waive ein davaranitel l'tzoracha davaranitel to prevent you from eating it. Right, and therefore, Hamid did the Ram, but not all the Rabbanans.
Is the second one going to be Rabbanan or the first one?
And then the other is, no, right? We, covering is not Asher, and here we saw two possibilities. Either, accidental, which is Tosfot 1, right, which is that this is Soref, Gufo, or Mikomo, right? Or
my favorite,
right? Definitional, because it's moved for person, not. It's moved for the person and not for the chametz. Good.
Yep.
Clear.
Yes.
So this is the first half of the sugya, which is under the assumption that the issue here is mukta. What we have to deal with tomorrow is,
what if it's not mukta?
What if it's not mukta? It is malacha. Doesn't that contradict what we saw before? The notion that only Rabbi Akiva thinks it's a malacha problem. How could you negate that reading the Gemara and say that everyone agrees that it is a malacha problem? And as we're going to see tomorrow, what are we going to see? Well, you're going to see, right? Everyone's going to have a malachal problem. Why? Well, that's what you'll see, right? Is somehow we're going to have to say that the mitzvah of destroying the chametz is not enough to justify burning chametz in Pesach. And not surprisingly, are you going to see some overlap with today? Yes. So, for example, what about this? Remember this? Right, we're going to see certain Rishonim, we're going to say, wait a second. If you didn't do Bittul, then it's a Tzorech Mitzvah. Right? And then you're allowed to burn it, because then it's considered Tzorech, it overrides Ochel Nevesh. If I did Bittul, then, right, then there's no Tzorech. That's the problem. Rabbi Kiva is saying, even if I didn't do Bittul, right, so you'll see things like that tomorrow. Okay.
It's okay. That's fine.
It's
Mark really,
what?
Mark was really hot for...
Person like this, I hope so. Did it help? It helped. Good. Okay. Fine. What?